This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The world's biggest chip company is placing its bets on Arizona. Hello, happy Monday morning, and you are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, and we're live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. So the chip giant, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, will build a third factory in Arizona, upping its total US investment from $40 billion to $65 billion. The factory, which is expected to produce cutting-edge 2-nanometer chips by 2028, will receive $6.6 billion in subsidies and possibly $5 billion in loans from the US government. The move aims to create thousands of high-tech jobs and reduce US dependency on Asia, particularly Taiwan, for chip manufacturing as geopolitical tensions remain high. Now let's talk about Elon Musk and X, formerly known as Twitter, because they're back in the spotlight, this time in Brazil, after a Supreme Court judge there is now looking into Musk's plans to reactivate accounts on the site. The thing is, the judge had ordered those accounts to be blocked, but Musk posted on X to say he's lifting the restrictions, claiming the court's order is unconstitutional. The BBC's Leonardo Rocha has more.
Mr. Musk said that the judge, Alexandre de Moraes, had repeatedly betrayed the Constitution and the people of Brazil. He said that Mr. Moraes ordered the X platform, which was formerly known as Twitter, to block the accounts of individuals who post messages deemed anti-democratic. Many of them are supporters of the former right-wing president, Jair Bolsonaro, who called Elon Musk a true hero of Brazilian democracy. Mr. Musk said the judge had imposed heavy fines on X and threatened to arrest its employees.
Leonardo Rocha there. Now, let's do the numbers. Quad, the Spanish family-owned business group behind brands like Charlotte Tilbury and Paco Rabanne, plans to raise over $1.3 billion by going public on Spanish stock exchanges. And gold reached a record high as investors react to signs that the Fed will cut interest rates this year. Now, we've told you about petitions against Chinese property developers like Evergrande and Country Garden. Now, a Chinese state bank has filed a petition to wind up the private developer Shimao Group over a debt of approximately $202 million. A court hearing is scheduled for the end of June. Let's talk about eBay, because it's making big changes and dropping fees for UK sellers of pre-owned clothing. So I've got the BBC's Saranjana Tiwari on this story. Hello, Saranjana.
Hi there.
Saranjana, why are they getting rid of the fees now?
So eBay, and this is just in the UK for the moment, has announced that it will drop fees for individuals who want to sell their pre-owned clothing on the platform. And the hope is that all that second-hand clothing will be paid forward rather than go into landfill. Now, the seller fees will still apply to things like trainers, watches, handbags and jewellery. You can imagine that's because some of them are so high value. As for listing that are already up, those fees will also be dropped.
So what do you think? Do you think this is a direct response to other providers like Depop and Vinted, which is a platform here in the UK?
That's the big question. There's no forgetting that the rise of companies like Vinted, and Vinted especially, how popular it's become, this idea of secondhand thrift. eBay, of course, was the original online marketplace, especially for things like secondhand goods. So there's no doubt that the company might be feeling like it's being left behind, and it'll want to make sure that it's able to compete with new and shiny platforms like Vinted.
Really interesting. The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, after the House of Representatives approved a bill that would force TikTok's parent company to divest its stake in the social media app or risk facing a de facto ban, it didn't just cause concern in the US. Here in the UK, I've been speaking to some small business owners selling on TikTok Shop who say they're facing a real threat to their access to the US market.
Hi, my name's Kyle Frank, and I am the founder and formulator of Frank's Remedies. Frank's Remedies is a vegan skincare range specifically for like overly reactive, blemish-prone skin types. Right now, I'm actually packing an order for the US. It's one of our regular customers that actually found us through TikTok.
Like many other small companies in the UK that sell on TikTok shop, Kyle, who's based in London, relies a lot on US customers.
We've had like certain months where 60 to 70% of our like monthly sales have come from the US.
Earlier this month, the House of Representatives approved a bill that would force TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, to sell its stake in the social media app or face a practical ban in the US. Now Kyle worries that the market may be closed off to him in the future.
It's going to be quite annoying if the, you know, TikTok gets banned in the US, especially as that has become, you know, our second biggest market. And, you know, we haven't really had to spend any ads, any money like marketing to get those customers.
Kyle's not alone. Jenny Bailey from Merseyside in the northwest of England owns Cala Shoes, a footwear brand for women who suffer from bunions, which are bony lumps that form on the side of the feet.
If you've got bunions, then you know that heel shopping is a struggle.
Whenever Jenny sees a big surge in traffic from TikTok, a lot of those customers are from the US.
We've managed to grow our USA revenue from around 20% to 50% of our total business.
And if 6 months goes by and ByteDance still hasn't divested and TikTok was banned,
I think that the opportunity to grow organically as quickly as we have in the US would be severely affected.
The thing is, even though TikTok might never be banned in the US, small businesses on this side of the Atlantic are already feeling the impact of that threat. Maddie Alexander-Grout is a money specialist and social media visibility coach based in Southampton in England.
I run courses almost every week, and normally I have between 40 and 60 people on each course. And, you know, it's really taken a drop. You know, I think people are a bit scared of spending money to invest in the platform. So, you know, I've seen a revenue loss already, which is really sad.
Now, you might be thinking, if you're in business, why not market it in some other way? But Jenny Bailey says other social media platforms just don't give you the same reach.
We know works on TikTok can sometimes work quite well on Instagram as well, but it don't get that as big spikes in traffic from the USA on Instagram that we see on TikTok.
And all of them are hoping ByteDance sells so they can keep their US customers. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.